Hi, everyone. My name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. You know, that small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world. With that being said, let's trek further down the path of
investing in your future.
Yeah, like what, like cocaine?
Tons of it. Yeah. Well, just right
buy
now,
some cocaine, or
yeah,
or you could like, do what they did in Always Sunny. You could buy a bunch of gasoline and then wait for the gas to go up and then sell it door to door.
Oh wow, that's a good one.
That was a horrible episode.
Speaking of cocaine, that's why I'm sniffling right now. No, that is not why I'm sniffling. I have allergies and they're terrible. And I told Jake right before we started that it felt like I got hit in the head by a steamroller. And then he made a good point, which is that that's an unlikely scenario.
Yeah,
probably either get flattened by a steamroller. You probably wouldn't feel it in your head much, right? It would probably hit your legs first. I don't know.
I mean, it's just going very slow, like the scene from Austin Powers.
It's true. It is going very slow. Yeah, you could easily get out of the way.
You could run into it and hit your
head.
That's
true. I can run into a steamroller.
Yeah, you would have to be the one with the inertia.
Or you could be stuck in tar, or you could have fallen, or anything. That's not what this episode's about anyway, so we can move on. But if my voice sounds like this and I sound exhausted, it's because the allergy devil has entered my body or something. I don't know.
Because instead of investing in a new bass, invested in a child. Now you're tired all the time.
Well, I invested in pollen and ragweed right now because I'm
ragweed. Scott Joplin.
Ragweed time is different than rag time.
If Scott Joplin was playing in the '60s, that's what it would have been. Ragweed.
Yes. So this episode is going to be about spending money to make money, right? Like investing in your future and how we buy things and what we're buying and how our impulses can be right sometimes and how they can be wrong and how we can kind of figure out what to do with our finances.
I don't think it could ever be wrong. It's more like you just don't back it up after you do it. Like, here's the problem with musicians is we'll like get something in our head and then we'll just fucking go for it. And we make a plan and like all this stuff and we're going to do this and do that. If I only get this, you know, this next purchase, then it's going to open up all these doors for me, which is a good thought. And that's actually probably true. Like, you should go with that instinct, but then you have to actually like really plan it out. And when you buy something, you need to use it for those ideas that you had. That would be investing in your future. Cause now you're going to like tack on another skill set, you know, even if it's not a new skill set, but something you want to go deeper down. Like if you want to learn nylon guitar or if you want to learn mandolin, right? Cause if you're a guitar player, you want to have as many stringed instruments kind of in your bag that you could bring to the studio and like be efficient with, you know, that kind of stuff. That's the stuff that I think of when you say like investing in your future, but it all comes down to you. Like, you got to fucking make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it. The musical part for sure. You want to have your arsenal. It depends on what kind of music you're into or what you are working in, right? What industry you're in. If you're in the pop world, you definitely need different things than if you're in a jazz world. Also, people that do Broadway shows might need different things. People need doubling chops, of course, but they need instruments for that. And, you know, for auditions, sometimes it's beneficial, as we've talked about before, to bring different instruments just because you look more of the part and you might sound more of the part and get the gig. So, yeah, of course, there's a lot of things. And, you know, even in regular life, in the kitchen, you know, like I have an air fryer and it's one of those things when you buy it, You know, my wife is like, are you going to really use this thing? You know, that's what you want for your birthday. I was like, I want this air fryer, you know. I use that thing like twice a day for, I have for like 2 years, you know what I mean? Since I've gotten it. So some things are amazing. And of course I have other things that I've used once or like they're in the box. Like I have a julienne thing for cooking, you know, that you can
julienne
fish. It works, but it's like a pain to clean.
Like it would cut like in julienne cuts. Like instead of you just doing it with a knife.
Yeah, it does all kinds of stuff like that. Like it's
thing.
It does all kinds of different slicing and different thicknesses and blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of a pain in the ass. And therefore, I never use it, right? So that was like, okay, that's a waste. Or if you have...
Yeah, there's a reason chefs don't use shit like that.
Right, exactly.
they tell you that they do, but they don't.
Yeah, when they endorse it, it's like the Emeril Lagasse Julia machine. But
it just shows a clip of Emeril Lagasse
like holding
from like
it.
His own show, just going, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally
bam.
Sued for it.
Bam. Yeah.
He's like, I didn't fucking agree to do that.
Yeah. You know, unless you're like a big time chef like George Foreman, you know, the famous chef.
Yeah, he just punches his food to tenderize it, and then
but
he gets the fat out of it.
Yeah, you know, and even if in the coffee world, you know, people think they're going to get into coffee.
I was just looking at, here's a decision I actually didn't make. I was going to get an OCD coffee distributor for espresso, because when you put the grinds in the basket, before you tamp it, you want it to be evenly distributed. That's a huge thing. But like, I've always been able to do it manually. Like you can hit the side or you can kind of go around. Like there's ways to do it manually. And honestly, if you do enough research, people do all the work for you. Like I found YouTube videos of people actually doing like chemical testing of like, does this make a difference? Do you actually need a tool like this? And they were like, no, you could just do it manually, you know?
Right.
So I didn't buy it. And it's like $150. So,
but my point is that like you're really into coffee, so you actually do utilize your coffee tools.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like coffee a lot, and I'm into it. But I also have three different devices to make coffee.
Yeah, you buy shit too. Yeah,
but I don't buy. But there are things like I don't use as much. Like I don't use my AeroPress that much, even though it's awesome.
I bet at some point you'll get super into it.
I know it is awesome, but like. You know, it also wasn't that expensive. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, but you also need a nice like grinder, and I would suggest a hand grinder.
Yeah, exactly. See, it's a rabbit hole. Anyway,
yeah.
Moving on to the subject here, because we'll just go down the list of all these superfluous items.
But that's
kind of
what it is, though. It's all rabbit hole. That's kind of what we're saying.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the underlying thing here is that times are tough, probably for most people.
Yeah,
I mean, due to COVID being, you know, disrupting the industry.
I think we could just say in general, the art world is since 2000, really. Like it's gotten better in that there's more ways to make money, but it's still a very small amount of money.
Right.
So it's always going to be like that for us, I think.
Yeah. So essentially the point is that unless you have a trust fund or money coming from another job and you just want your toys, and to be honest, there's nothing wrong with buying fun stuff. You know, I mean, it makes me happy when I can buy something that is I totally don't need. You know, like I want a drone, you know, for no reason except for to fly it up and take pictures of birds and do crazy stuff. I haven't gotten one because there are things
that
are
at the same time, dude, like you're probably mostly investing in your kid's future in that sense. Like think of the shit he can learn just by having that thing around. Like he might be a fucking Nat Geo photographer by the time he's 14, for all we know.
See, the problem
there's always
with all
something.
Of this is the problem with this is you have people like Jake who are convincing me to buy a drone right now. And I was already thinking that I shouldn't probably buy it. And now he's giving me a reason. Like he's like, it's for your kids, man. It's really for your kid.
But you know what I mean.
He'll love it, man. Just get that drone. Just spend $300 on a drone.
But it's
It'll
like,
be awesome.
You know, it's better than him sitting around watching TV, which you guys, you know, don't have him do, which is already good.
No,
like, he's
do
already
a lot
learning
of fun
tons
stuff.
Of awesome shit.
Yeah, he knows a lot of math and science.
Fucking drone is pretty dope. Yeah. You know?
I know. I was looking at electric bicycles today, too. Like,
what
I was thinking
electric
about.
Bicycle?
Oh, man. They're these bikes. They look like mountain bikes, but they have a motor, too.
Damn.
And you can pedal them, but they also can go like 20, 23, 24 miles an hour for like 40 miles sometimes.
So you're essentially charging it from pedaling it somehow.
You can, but you charge it at home too.
All right. So it's just an electric motor.
I was thinking of doing that and like having, given, getting one of those like back seat things that go over the back tire and having Aiden and just ride around in trails, and he'd think it was hilarious. Anyway,
that's pretty cool.
So we know that times are, you know, tough, and that you should not buy crazy stuff if you don't have to, and you might need it for rent or all those things. But, you know, there's more to it than just that. Like, let me just talk about a little bit about my backstory, which you probably have heard before, but I'll explain this in the light of investing in my future, which I did, and it'll probably make more sense. So when I was young, in my early 20s, and making my money as a bass player, I had very little money saved because I was 21, 22, like, you know, and paying my rent and doing fine. But, you know, I wasn't living at home. You know what I mean? I had my own place, and I was eating rice and beans or whatever, which was actually delicious because I'm a vegetarian. But, you know, so whenever there was a purchase that I needed to make that was big, it was something that I really had to think about, because it was basically going to go onto my credit card, you know, and this is something that everyone knows about and understands that's listening to this podcast, I would assume, you know, unless you're one of those people that pays off their credit card every month and is super budgeted, it's really hard to do that as a musician, because there's certain things that you need to buy in order to get to the next level. Because if you just always put it off, you'll never be able to spend money to make money, right? So anyway, let me get back to this. So I started becoming interested in music production, but the money I needed to get started with it all at that time was more than I had, right? From just playing bass. So I knew I had to put it on my credit card and pay it back. So I had to make a decision that would define where my career was going, its trajectory. Well,
it kind of has to be your own, quote unquote, like, interest rate. Like, when you buy it from a credit card, it means at the end of the day, you're going to pay more for that product because of the interest.
Right.
So it's like you sort of like sometimes measure it against that. Yeah, sometimes.
Back but then, you know what I mean? Even like, more keen to like the 0% things. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Deals.
I
would.
Yeah, it's like when you go to Guitar Center back in the day and they'd be like, if you get the Guitar Center credit card for like 72 months, it'll be, you know, like 0%
or
something.
You have to pay it off in that 72 months.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like you have to weigh that option on yourself, like as your own, like how interested are you really in fucking like making this shit happen? That's like, it should be like a measurement, like at your own interest rate.
Yeah. So what I'm getting at it, I guess, is that you're going to have a choice at any certain point in your career, whether you invest in what you're doing now, which at that time I said I was just a bass player, right? So do I need more gear? Or should I like invest in something entirely different? And these aren't not in a lifestyle thing, like a new kitchen appliance or a skateboard, which is all stuff that you're going to need to do to keep sane. If you're a skateboarder and that makes you happy, then like that's mental health in my eyes. That's not like playing a game. You know what I mean? That to me is like, that's your passion.
Just as important as food.
Yeah. Riding a bike, like whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like, do I get like a new bass, basically. Like I have a 4-string, a 5-string, and I don't know, what else? Fretless, I probably had back then or something. What else do I need? And will that, by getting that, will it make me more money? Like, and that's kind of the question I had to ask. It's not the question everyone has to ask, because there are some people that have more money, right? So if you have more money and you're playing, like we're talking to Alan Pasqua, and I'm editing one of his new videos. Jake and I are editing it, and he's got this amazing Steinway that's like ridiculous, and it sounds so fucking good. It's a, what is it, a Hamburg Steinway or something?
Well, that's the thing. It's still made in the States, but they've been actually like taking the German parts and mixing them. So it's basically both worlds.
Right.
You're getting that German style. You know, there's like wood trim and stuff like that. It's just fucking insane, dude.
Right.
It's crazy.
I mean, like,
nobody needs that. Like, but like, it.
Right.
You could tell, like, it makes him so happy. And
exactly.
Like, and it sounds actually specifically like he plays a lot of really low type voicing stuff. And on that piano, it's like crystal clear. So in that sense, like, he needs it. You know.
Yeah. And not just, but the thing with him is, and my point is that Alan didn't buy something that he couldn't afford just because it was beyond his means.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't beyond his means. Like he's played with everyone from,
he's earned the fuck out of that thing.
Yeah. I mean, he's played with a million people and pop stars as well as jazz stars. So, he can afford it and it makes him happy. So like he can do what he wants. Like he doesn't need that piano. He can go play, with Bob Dylan or Gary Burton.
Make this desk sound good.
Or brilliant. He can play, with Tony Williams. I mean, he can go and play, what are those like a Baldwin upright and it'll be fine.
I think Gibson owns them, right?
Yeah. Sorry, Baldwin. I'm sure you're a good piano company. But my point is this, it's like for him, and if you have the money and you just want to get like, it's your reward, like you just want to get this beautiful instrument. And I know a lot of guitarists that can do that and that have done that. And a lot of bass players, for bass, I have a different opinion because I'm a bass player and like for my sound, what I'm going for, like I have everything I need to get it. And I really honestly don't feel like at this point I need anything else. Of course, new things are fun. For guitars, it is a little different, you know? I mean, and for every other instrument, I mean, there's so many different things you could get. Like I've talked to Jake about, a flamenco guitar. It's not just a nylon string or a nylon, right?
But even think of like cats like Chico.
Yeah.
Or like Moreno.
That's what I'm talking about.
Matheny. Like,
yeah, they have some serious custom axes.
Yeah, like shit makes a difference because they're at such a high level of touch that it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, might as well fucking go both worlds. Like,
right. But,
you know,
that being said, for Chico, he's at the point where he's hopefully getting a break and him and Mike, you know, from the luthier. Not just that, I'm sure it's super expensive for all these guys, but it's also something that they have devoted their life to and that they are continuing to put all their eggs in that basket. Like,
yeah,
Mike and Chico and Pat Metheny like aren't trying to like
they're not switching guitars every song.
Well, like, what I'm trying to say is like they're not Pat Metheny doesn't really care if he's gonna mix and master records. Like he's not like trying to learn that new skill. You know what I mean? Like he has people like award-winning engineers that do his stuff. You know, and we all learn new things and get different skills together, but it's very anyway. I don't want to ramble too much about it.
Well, no, but you're right though. Like if someone as intelligent as Pat had never made, you know, his big stardom
at 20 years old,
he'd still be playing music right now. That would still be his life because there's no fucking way it wouldn't be. And he would be a fucking wizard behind the fucking board. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he would also probably know how to deal with like cameras and you know what I mean? Like he would just,
whatever he needed.
That's just the cat he is, you know, and you see it with someone like Moreno. And even though Mike is super successful, he still took interest only because of like COVID. Like we saw how fast he learned all that shit. Like,
of course.
I mean, I love that about musicians. Like we're super we're fucking smart, you know?
But it's also like a detail oriented thing. Like if you're going from music to video, like every musician that I know that's gotten a nice camera, I mean, you know, like by something with a lens is what I mean, that removes, you know, either a mirrorless or a DSLR. They've gone down the rabbit hole. And if they don't, they don't really get the most out of their camera. But
it would be awkward if they didn't.
Yeah,
they wouldn't even know how to not to.
Yeah, but most people, most people that get these things, like they get the stock kit lens and like right away, within like 3 weeks, they're like, I can make it look better just by getting another lens. And then they're like, but like maybe I can get this and then that. And then, you know.
It's like when you hear Miles Davis, you're like, I need to figure out everything that fucking is happening.
Yeah. I talked to Gilad, Gilad Hexelman, I don't even know, it was like a month ago and he was already looking for a new glass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and his camera looks great. It's just a matter of, and I do the same thing and so do you. So it's because no matter what it is, it's all art and we want to make it look and sound as good as possible.
And we want to be good at it because it's interesting.
It is interesting. So
that's the thing. That's where like the interest comes in. Like you have to back it up. You have to actually go. Once you have that, you got to fucking go with your plan and why you bought it.
Right. So let me back up to where I was because I think it was an interesting part of my life because now, you know, I'm older and I have a wife and a kid and a house and things are different. Back when I was this age and making these decisions, I had neither. And I didn't have a lot of money. Like I said, I had enough money to pay my rent and save a little bit, and I was fine. I mean, I was happy as a clam living my life playing music for a living, but I didn't have a 401k. I didn't have any of that stuff. I had no savings, you know? And so anyway, my point is that I had to look at my career and say, look, I have I have all the bases I need for any job I'm doing, and I have enough amp power. You know what I mean? Like enough watts to get through any situation. Like I had different size amps or whatever I needed. And of course I practiced a trillion hours a day. So I could play what I needed to play. Now I could spend my money and get like a new bass thing, right? Like a new whatever it was. Because there was always something that interests me. I mean, as a musician, it's like there's always a pedal, like a something, like a new lighter, cooler sound, great sounding amp, a B15, like, you know, flip top Ampeg, or like something. Like,
when you're in fucking New York, cases.
Yeah.
Like what's the new case development going on? Can I carry two bases, you know, like comfortably in a soft case?
Whatever. Or like, you know, an upright or this or that. I mean, there's a million things you could do. And at a certain point, like I said, I was starting to get interested in music production. And that was a big thing because back then, computers weren't fast. Okay. So I'm talking about like Pentium 100, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like they were Pentiums. It was the beginning of the Pentium processor kind of thing. Yeah. Therefore, and the beginning of kind of Cubase kind of in Pro Tools and all that stuff going on to a computer. And, you know, before that, it was basically like the big Pro Tool HD rigs in the studios.
Yeah, it was still outboard gear. Like there was no fucking plugins yet.
Yeah, or it was ADATs. You know what I mean? Like, DA88s, the Tascams. But
oh yeah.
So my point was that I was trying to get into this, and I had to figure out what to do. And I thought, you know what? I have enough gear. I have enough for buying something new. And we had this podcast with Rosh Roslin, and he talked about the fact that he did the math because he kind of came from an accounting family. And he talked about the fact that he did the math and he was like, by buying this gear or like putting all my eggs into more guitar stuff, like, will I be making the amount of money that equates to the amount of extra time or money I am putting in? You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was like, no.
Yes, so it's not just buying the gear. Like it's the time to fucking learn how to use it too.
Yeah. So he was like, well, maybe I should diversify and spend my money and time like learning something else. And then I also always can, and I love guitar and I'm a great guitarist or whatever, and I can get those gigs, but now I can also make money doing something else. So, and it has to be something you're interested in. For me, like music production, being behind the scenes and getting to mix and master and produce music was like super exciting to me. And I actually liked it more than playing bass at that time. You know, because it was new and it's also just really interesting and I loved it.
Yeah. And that's going to happen. And no one should ever get freaked out about that. It's always going to come back to like what you do. But like, you're going to get, if you get excited about something, you're going to probably like it more for a little bit than the thing you've dedicated your life to. That should never be like alarming. That's totally normal.
Yeah. And the big thing here, and this is something I've talked about before, I said something in our guidebook about this when we had that going on, is that the natural tendency for musicians is to stick in your comfort zone. I mean, and this has nothing to do with money. That's the problem. It's like sticking in our comfort zone would mean that if you're a guitarist, that you would rather spend $3,000 on a new guitar that you're really not going to make more money off of than spending it on something you don't know if you're ever going to make money off of, like learning a new skill. And it's kind of the wrong way to look at it in my eyes. But unfortunately, it is the way a lot of us work. We're like, well, I'm a guitarist. Like if I buy more guitar stuff, like no one's going to look at me sideways.
Yeah.
You know, or I'm a bass player. Like if I buy more bass stuff, it's like I can justify it in my head that I will use that. I think essentially when it comes down to it, you need to think about investing in your future in a smart way. And it, sometimes it's scary. It's a leap of faith. You know, if you don't have any money, well, I remember when I lived in Brooklyn and I was right across the street from the Brooklyn Museum on Eastern Parkway. And I was like 21 years old and I would make money. from these, you know, from all my gigs. I would pay, I was playing like 5 to 7 nights a week. And then I would leave my car in the wrong spot on my road. And I, you had to move it by 8 or 9 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
And if you didn't move it within like 5 minutes of the time, oh, there's a tow truck parked there waiting for it to be like 8 o'clock or whatever
that's
it was.
That person's job. Like they make money doing that.
And I would get towed and it was like a $205 mistake, I think, because it was like $150.
Yeah. Like the ticket, then there's the, you got to pick up and then you get, you
know. Well, this is a while ago and it was like $55 ticket on the window, and then there'd be like a $150 to get it out of like some shady ass tow yard on the.
Plus, you gotta find out where the fuck that shady ass tow yard is.
Well, I mean, I lived there, so I knew where it was.
All right, good.
It was the Brooklyn Navy Yard, which was like the Brooklyn Navy Yard's the worst. You know, you have to go down there, and it was like, and it was just a drag.
Trailer fucking towed at a gig at the Middle East in Boston.
Switching horses right now. Do you know that the new Tesla Roadster is going to go 0 to 60 in 1.1 seconds.
I mean, it makes sense. It's electric. There's no explosion.
It's not just that. He's going to use cold air thrusters. It's going to shoot. He said that it's going to be James Bond. Like the license plate is going to go down and this thruster is going to shoot out the back.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's the shit you get to do with that technology.
That's what Elon Musk has to do.
But you know, cheetahs are like, pulling 0 to 70 in like, I think 2.8 or like 3.2 or something like that. Isn't that fucking crazy? Well, they can only last like 30, 40 seconds, but like, that's just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
They're basically a ridiculous sports car. What
is their drivetrain like?
Just the fucking legs, man. Just legs and muscle and like small heads, you know?
Well, all right. Well, we'll have to see the Elon Musk Tesla versus
that's who he's gonna have to race.
Drag. It's like a new YouTube video.
Yeah, he'll do that shit. Just give him some weed.
So, all right, back to like this thing. We're gonna try to stay on topic, but it's hard because you know I'm exhausted, and we're both brain dead here.
The Tesla cheetah.
Tesla cheetah. Anyway, when it comes to taking a leap of faith with your money, it's difficult because, like I said, for everyone has a different level of financial stability, and that's also financial stability also changes from day to day, month to month, hour to hour, depending on you know anything. You could be laid off. If you're a musician, you could be playing a ton with. This has happened to me many times in my career where I played a bunch with one artist, and then they just stopped playing for a while, or something happened and they got sick or whatever the case is. And then all of a sudden your schedule is 70% not full. So, you know, that is something to keep in mind. But in general, when you're talking about making a big purchase or investing in something that is going to help you in the future, you just have to do it and not look back and not second guess it and just go with it. And then maybe make a plan to learn whatever it is that or master whatever it is. Like if you're getting a nice new camera, like we talked about, a mirrorless camera, like make sure you don't just get it and keep it on auto and then just not really understand how to use it. Like learn about it. There's so many things. You don't even have to take photography classes. You can just go to YouTube. I mean, there's plenty of people that know what they're talking about and they say it for free.
Yeah. Yeah, it's plenty of stuff. If you get an LA library card, you can do usually paid for tutorials. I forget.
Oh, like Linda or one of those?
Linda. Yeah. Like stuff like that. That's the other thing I was going to say is just like, know who your friends are, what they can do, what you can do for them. Because friends always love helping each other out, doing new shit. It's not just about the product. Like for instance, we started this company and it would have been harder if we didn't realize that you could buy a refurbished Mac Mini for fucking super low price. And you have like a machine that can do some hardcore processing. That's how we kicked off this company. Like instead of paying, you know, $5,000 for two computers each. And I was going to bring up the new M1 Mac Mini. Like if you want to get into studio production right now, fucking get an M1 Mac Mini, like 16 or 32 gig. That thing is a fucking animal and it's super cheap. And like, you probably have screens laying around, a couple HDMI cables, so you don't need a fucking laptop. Like, you know what I mean? It's just stuff like that. Like, some research. It's not a matter of just like, oh, I'm going to build a studio, so I have to get a $6,000 computer and like blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, man, like you can, there's so many ways. Like the technology is affordable because there's so many options. So like,
plus you don't have to, you don't have to start all at once. Like for instance, if you want to learn software, music software, DAW software, if you want to do that, then just get the software and get something affordable like that. You know, and to be honest, most music software isn't that expensive nowadays. Yeah, the plugins can be pricey, but just a basic DAW. Well,
you should learn how to use all the built-in reverbs and EQs and all that stuff anyway.
And
it's going to be magic when you get up plugins.
And what I'm saying is like, you don't need to invest. Like if you think about a studio, you're saying, okay, well, I have to get speakers and they have to be good. Near field monitors.
Not yet.
I have to soundproof my room. I have to do this. I have to get some outboard gear, some good pre's. But the thing is, you don't have to do all that at once. Like what you can do is like use your computer that you already have, get a cheap sound card for like less than $200.
Dude, Mike Posner made his first hit on a laptop on a fucking airplane.
Yeah.
Period. Millions of dollars. That got him whatever the hell he wanted after that. But like, you know, put some effort into it. You don't need all the toys.
Yeah. And you don't even need speakers right away. Like if you want to just use headphones and just mix on your headphones and get good at the software, then once you get good at it and you actually want to mix it, get some speakers, figure out how your room works and how you do it. But like you're going to spend so much time just learning about signal chain, EQs, like how to edit in your software that you don't have to have like, you know, your Genelec speakers or whatever you get, you don't have to go that hard. I mean, you can if you have the money, but you can start with a very small investment and see if it's for you. You can dip your toe in for like a few $100 and you'd be like recording, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you upgrade. Just don't get stuff that's like you have to throw away, you know? I mean, get stuff that you can build upon. So
again,
I always
tell people, friends.
Yeah.
And renting. Don't forget renting exists. Like, you know, when my other friend, like he would come here if he needed like a certain room sound because he knew he had like an empty room that was good for it. And he would rent like a fucking ridiculous Neumann mic or something like that. And he would lay down a vocal track for an artist and then he would get paid. He'd get paid the same amount as if he owned that shit. And if he had the studio space, it didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, so he'd make money that like a real studio guy would make. And he didn't have the real studio. Like that's the thing. Like know your friends and know what you can rent, know what they have, what they can let you borrow. And again, it's tit for tat, like, you know, do them a favor down the line. But like, again, like Adam's saying, you don't have to get everything all at once. It's not.
Plus like with cameras, it's the same thing. Like if you get, of course, if you have a great, if you want to be a photographer and you have an amazing camera with amazing lenses, that's helpful, but like you still have to
shoot, be good
at photography. You know what I mean? Yeah. And the real photographers use things like light meters. They make sure they have several lenses in their bag. They know about all kinds of stuff that an amateur photographer wouldn't understand.
And people don't even know what a light meter is for until you get to a certain level. Where you're like, oh, this is about ratios.
Agreed. But you know, even when, if you were to buy, let's say, a nice camera, like you have a camera and you want to make good videos of yourself playing, you might not even be in it for photography. But by learning how to do video on a new modern camera or a DSLR or before that or whatever, you have to understand photography to a certain degree. So you could practice by taking pictures because, you know, it's fun to take pictures too. So by doing that, you might get good enough that you have friends that are also musicians that need headshots or something. And then you could just be like, you know what? I'll come over and shoot some and we'll see if anything works. You go into Photoshop, you figure out how to make it look good, get rid of some shadows and highlights, do what you have to do. Use the blemish correction tool or whatever, you know?
There's so much stuff.
Yeah, there's so much you can do, right? So
it's not even fair anymore.
No, but
Topaz just came out with a whole bunch of new shit, dude.
Yeah, the point being is that you could make money off of that and you could pay back the whole purchase of your camera before you even use it for your own purposes. You know, the point is that if you're going to go in and learn something new, although it's intimidating, you don't have to go in with too much money. And if it is something that that costs a lot, or you simply don't have a lot, like when I said when I was younger, you go in and do what you had to do. My first record that I ended up learning how to mix and master and produce, I just did it in my own time in my bedroom when I was up living with Al Street on, you know, in Broadway around Tiemann and LaSalle uptown. And I had how many roommates? I had two other roommates besides me, right? And the place was tiny, and not, and the subway would come above the ground there and rattle the entire apartment. Jesus. And it was super loud. And I just still figured it out, right? And I got good at everything in that room. You know what I mean? And my speakers were terrible. And the thing about speakers is that terrible speakers are, it's not easy, but once you get to know a speaker, you realize what they're missing. And yeah. So once you start, you know, you remix something, you always should take it to another speaker system, you know. And I had a lot of friends with good speakers, and I'd bring my mixes to them, and or I'd bring it to Smoke because I was playing Smoke every week. And after we'd play, like I tested it on their system, you know. I mean, after they closed the doors, not while people were there, you know, you know, because they're my friends, so they'd let me do it. And you try it on systems that work, and then you all of a sudden realize, like, exactly, you're like, oh, well, my speakers must be really bassy because there's no bass in this mix when I played on other rigs. So then you start making adjustments. Eventually, you get better speakers that are more transparent. All those things are helpful. You figure out your room.
Certain meters now.
But it doesn't all happen at once. You know, like you have to learn how to do things first. So anyway, I guess the whole point of this is that if you're looking to make a purchase, don't always just stay in your comfort zone and just mindlessly buy the next toy when you could be investing in something that might actually help you down the road. Not just in a pandemic situation where you need multiple sources of revenue, but hey, that's not a bad place to start. You know, you should always have more than one iron in the fire. And there's so many ways to do it that are interesting. And you shouldn't only be interested in music too. You know, to be honest, like, you know, all the greats have always said, if you're only practicing, like, and you're only doing this one thing, then where's your inspiration coming from? Yeah. And that is a thing. That's true. Like, if you're not into riding bikes or painting or coding or taking pictures or video or what, there's so many interesting things other than music that will enhance your music and enhance your money, you know, your revenue.
Do it. Buy a Tesla Cheetah.
Buy a Tesla Cheetah. Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail? You can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So we look forward to hearing from you.